First Serve Tennis Sunscreen, a quality Australian-made sunscreen to protect those that love their tennis at sunblesssunscreens.com.au and GLG Green Life Group, your open space specialists at glgcorp.com. The First Serve, your home of tennis.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another big edition of The First Serve. It is your home of tennis each Monday night right across the SEN network. Predictably unpredictable, the tours. We'll cover that off very, very soon. Tonight, we'll tell you all about Between the White Lines. And Matt Ebden is going to be our special guest. He's been running hot, Matt Ebden. Did some great commentary with SEN right throughout January. He's going to join us live from Dubai in the next 20 minutes or so. This hour is always open to you. Brett Phillips with you for another week, but give us a call, 1300 736 736, or on the Tennis Direct text tonight, 0433 98 11 16, Australia's favourite online tennis store. Fast delivery, great prices. They've got free delivery on orders over $150. So just go to their website, looking after all First Serve listeners, tennisdirect.com.au. And you can get a 10% discount store-wide. 1-300-736-736. Would love your tennis calls tonight. Plenty of great prizes to give away, as always. Got the Sunbless sunscreen, which we love having on board. Their First Serve tennis sunscreen. Going gangbusters at the moment. You can order yours at sunblesssunscreens.com.au using that discount code SEN. Got the Athletican sneakers. Got copies of Daphne Akhurst's book, The Woman Behind the Trophy. So get involved with us tonight, 1-300-736-736, and you can be in the running for some fantastic prizes. But I reckon, first of all, we head to the winner's list that the week that has just passed on tour.
A moment of triumph for Garbiñe Muguruza. It's been a long journey back to a title, but she has come through it superbly well under intense pressure. So much pressure put on herself, no doubt, by the situation. She was favourite to win this, but she had to work very hard against Barbora Krejčíková. The Czechs had a great debut week, but ultimately outplayed, outthought in the end by the Spaniard. And Muguruza wins her eighth career title, her first since 2019. She is the champion in Dubai.
He's done it.
Yeah, second match.
He's only gone and done it from nowhere, from absolutely nowhere. Nicholas Basilashvili is a winner on the ATP Tour again. Four first round or first matches he's lost this year in a row, coming in 9 first rounds or first matches he had lost in a row last year at the end of the year. The most ridiculously poor record. And yet here he is, rocking up to Doha and walking off with the title.
And there is the victory, and she falls to her knees with delight, overcome with emotion. At the age of 24, Sara Solives Toromo wins her first ever event on the WTA Tour. She defeats Jenny Bouchard in straight sets, and her smile lights up the centre court in Zapopan, Guadalajara, and Mexico salutes the newest winner on the WTA Tour.
There it is. It's all over. And Medvedev is champion in Marseille for the first time. But boy, oh boy, was he pushed hard. A really high quality match. Brilliant play from Herbert with the serve volley. And Medvedev has had to dig deep here to come through. It's his 10th tour title, his first in Marseille.
He has got the one he really wanted. A fifth title of his career, but crucially, Christian Garin is a champion on home soil. Facundo Bagnas gave everything in his first ATP final, but it's the son of Santiago who takes the title in Santiago.
Yes, he did. What a week it's been on tour across the men and the women. There's a few winners where there was no commentary in the last week that we'll tell you about, particularly from an Australian point of view. 1-300-736-736. Anything you want to put on the tennis agenda, You can fire that through tonight. Also on the Tennis Direct text 0433 98 11 16. Let's recap for you. Let's start in Doha. Obviously, 7 days ago, we were talking about the return of Roger Federer. We couldn't wait. So we got two samples of Roger. We got a win over Dan Evans. So he's undefeated against Dan, who loves to slice and chip and lots of spins. Then he takes on, as we heard in the highlights there, Nikolaos Basilashvili of Georgia, who's had a pretty horrendous 12 months, hardly winning a match on the tennis court. And also, he was charged with assaulting his ex-wife. So he's been through a lot. But he has this ability, Basilashvili, to step up at these big tournaments and win them. So he got through overnight. His fourth ATP title, he beat Milman, Jaziri, Federer, Fritz, and Bautista Agut to get through. 42 to 36, he's jumped up in the rankings. Saved a match point to beat Roger Federer. So we'll hear from the winner in just a moment. But little pricey on Roger. I'd love your thoughts. I mean, it was just great to have him back. I think what we saw, I mean, he's very old-fashioned, Roger. No taping on the knee, no brace. I think he's never had an ice bath in his life, or maybe had one. His movement was pretty good, to be totally honest. Hit that running forehand well. He got to the net well. He hit the overhead smash pretty well. So he was stretched, certainly by Evans, with a different type of ball. And then probably a little bit of fatigue set in against Basilashvili down the stretch of that match, who hits a much heavier ball than Dan Evans. Felt a bit of soreness in that left shoulder, but 25 aces combined Federer across his two matches. Didn't throw in a double fault. Has decided to skip Dubai this week. He'd already ruled himself out from Miami. Obviously, the shoulder is one thing he pointed to as a little bit of a concern that he wanted to rest. So he'll come back in the clay court season, Roger. Maybe Madrid is where we'll see him next. The clay a little kinder on the body, but all gearing up for the grass. Halle, Wimbledon, two tournaments that he's absolutely dominated. So it's a shame we don't get to see Roger every single week, but at 39, you've got to pick your mark, when to peak and when to have the best impact. And the first time we'd seen him in 405 days, I think there are plenty of positives to take out of last week for Roger Federer. But let's have a listen to the winner, Nikolaos Basilashvili of Georgia, getting through overnight.
Coming into Doha, you hadn't won a match since week one of the season. When you got off that flight at Hamad International, did you imagine you'd be standing here tonight as our 2021 champion?
Definitely not. I'm super, super happy. I had zero expectations for sure to win tournament, and I'm extremely happy. I would like to first congratulate Roberto for finals. Very tough conditions today, so I think it could go both ways. I'd like to thank the State of Qatar for a great tournament. To be able to manage to put spectators here, it's such a joy and privilege to play, and I hope that soon we can continue to play with the spectators for the rest of the season. It's one of my favorite tournaments as well, like Roberto, so always happy to come back here and play, and yeah, super happy. My girlfriend slash coach slash sparring partner, I would like to as well thank to my Milos, to my physio. I would like to thank Jan, my former coach back in Germany. I would like to thank my fitness coach, Chris.
Indeed, there was plenty of thank yous in the aftermatch for Nikolaos Basilashvili, who climbs back up to 36. We know he has been inside the top 20 going back, of course, 3 or 4 years ago now. So a couple of the other takeaways. Chris O'Connell did qualify but lost to Pospisil in the first round. More on Chris shortly. Marton Fucsovics, who won in Rotterdam the week before, having a terrific little period, lower back, and he was forced to pull out of his match with Rublev. How about Andre Rublev, who arrived after winning Rotterdam, had a bye in the first round. Gasquet pulls out of his second round match, and then Fucsovics pulled out of the quarterfinals. So he went through to the semifinals, Andre, with no matches in singles, lost to Bautista Agut, who got through to the final. So we were expecting Andre Rublev to start winning every week now, but that's not the way it goes on the ATP tour. So Bautista Agut, pretty disappointed with that. 9-9 in finals now. Won Doha back in 2019. And remember the giant killer from the Australian Open, the great Russian, Aslan Karatsev? Well, he and Rublev did team up to win the doubles in that particular tournament. Daniil Medvedev, officially the world number two. The pecking order is changing. No Rafa at the moment. We know he's not playing. So that opened up the door for Medvedev. He didn't need to win the title to be world number two overnight, but he officially has just made the rankings look very, very interesting. 10th, the ATP title, 13 aces. He was on court for over 2 hours. The first player outside the Big Four to occupy the number two spot since our very own Leighton Hewitt in July of 2005. So it's been a long time coming. 6 of his 10 titles, Medvedev, have been indoor on hard courts. We'll get on to Matt Ebden. We're going to speak to Matt very shortly. He was the other story of the week. But he was too good for Pierre Hilbert, the great Frenchman that he is. We love him. He's got the reverse McEnroe serve, and he's just refreshing. He gets in and he serves, he volleys. He threw everything possible. The total contrasting game style to Medvedev, who loves to control that baseline. But Daniil, he's always up for a good chat, and he was earlier this morning when he won.
Daniil, congratulations. It was a great match from your part, but Pierre Hugues played also a great final.
Yeah, it was a really tight match. First set, I felt like I had more opportunities. Second set, really tight. Had one break point in the first game. Then he was actually better player than me in the set. Tie break, I was really close to getting an advantage. He made some great points, so it was a really tight tennis match and decided in the last game where I got a bit lucky and made some returns in the court. He was a bit tight, and that's tennis, actually.
You had to stay focused all the time because each point, especially in the third set, we're counting a lot.
Yeah, of course. First of all, it's indoor hard courts. Serve counts for everybody, and Pierre Hugues is an amazing server, one of the best on the tour for me. Also covering up the net after the serve, so... I mean, you have to fight for every point. You know that the least chances you can get, the more you have to be focused on them. And I felt like I did this quite good today.
Your 10th title. On Monday, you will celebrate number two in the world. This is something special, no?
Yeah, I guess I can start, you know. Because during the tournament, I didn't want to think about it too much because the most important part was the tournament. And, you know, I actually had the chance in Rotterdam to become number two if I made the final. So I was kind of disappointed that I'm going to become number two without making a good result. But then I had the chance here in Marseille. So even if I don't become number two with the points from Marseille, I feel like I deserve a little bit.
you've been raised in tennis on the Côte d'Azur. Also, you know the place. Winning here in Marseille, something special, I imagine.
Yeah, I mean, really happy because before it didn't work that well, especially last year. I came the first seed, lost quite easy, didn't play that good, so it was a disappointing moment for me. Always come here by car, first time already, so easy, just a two-hour drive, and I'm in the tournament. It's always nice to have some tournaments like this almost at home. And yeah, I'm really happy. That's a special feeling, my second title in France, and yeah, really happy.
Last thing, a message to all the fans who wants to be here in this room.
Well, first of all, I hope you enjoyed this final, guys, on the TV, because for sure we couldn't have supporters here on the court, but I feel like it was a high-quality tennis match, and we tried to do our best to entertain people on Sunday afternoon, so hopefully you enjoyed.
We enjoyed it. They had the fake crowd in there in Marseille, so the players had to generate their own atmosphere. It's going beautifully, isn't it? A little blip in Rotterdam last week, but he's 14-2. He's the world number two, and there are plenty of good things to come, no doubt, for Daniil Medvedev. And as we heard in the little package of highlights at the start of the show, and we saw Diego Schwartzman win on home soil last week for the first time in Argentina. Well, Christian Garin, who we didn't see here, missed the Australian Summer of Tennis with injury, came into this tournament having not won a match for 2021. He's a class act. He had to work overtime, let me tell you, today against Facundo Bagnis of Argentina in his first ever ATP final at the age of 31. He was pretty distressed afterwards, to be totally honest, because that was maybe his one and only opportunity he'll get. Some players have to wait a long time just to get into an ATP final, but Garin pulled out all stops to win in three, the first Chilean to win at home in 12 years since Fernando Gonzalez. And he battled the coronavirus as well, Garin, and missed with injury out here in Australia. But a terrific win. He was pretty emotional. Let's have a listen to the Chilean, who steps back up to world number 20.
Does this win have a different feeling than the rest of them?
Yeah, of course. It's so special for me to win in my country. I was looking for this tournament since I was a kid. I came as a kid to watch the matches of Fernando, Nicolas, even Marcelo. So it's an honor to me to be champion at home. So it was a very, very tough match. So I can't believe that I won.
Tough match indeed. You played the entire tournament without dropping a set. Today yeah. was a different match.
Yeah, very.
Of course, it's the finals. Do you think that by having won four other tournaments, your experience helps you on these situations?
Yes, of course. This is my sixth final, so of course I have a bit of experience of in the important moments. But today I was very tight in the important moments. I miss a lot in the second set. There was a bad call that in a break point, so that I was a little bit disappointed of that call, but anyways, I won the third set. It was so tough, so I can't believe that I won it, honestly.
There he is, Christian Garin. Would have loved a raucous Chilean crowd there in full voice, but not to be the coronavirus times at Ren. Just one name I want to mention out of that tournament to keep an eye on: Holger Vitus Notskov Run. What a name, from Denmark. Producing a few good players, Denmark. Clara Towson on the girls' side won the Australian Open a couple of years ago in the juniors, inside the top 100. Well, this young guy we've been tracking from the juniors, second highest ranked 17-year-old behind the Spaniard Carlos Alcaraz, who we know is already up to 132 in the world, and he's coming in a big way. But look out for this young man. He beat Benoit Paire. Someone had to silence Benoit this week. Thank God. No racket smashing from Benoit this week. So that's Christian Garin. Andreas Seppi, still going, 37. Andreas just became a dad. How about the amount of dads this week? Andy Murray's had his fourth child, to Kim. So 5-year-old Sophia, 3-year-old Eddie, 1-year-old Teddy, and a new addition to the Murray clan, Alexander Zverev, who has also become a father with his ex-girlfriend Brenda. He wasn't there, though. He was in Acapulco preparing where he's going to play this week. But nice win for Andreas Seppi. James Duckworth was the top seed. Disappointing for Ducks, I reckon. It's like National Lampoon's vacation at the moment. He's gone from New Sultan to Biella in Italy. Now he's in Cleveland, Ohio. That is covering a fair bit of ground on the professional tour. So Ducks, not a great couple of weeks for him. And that wraps up the men's side. I reckon we'll squeeze in a break. We'll come back. We'll start to dissect the women's side. And Matt Ebden, who played in that Marseille tournament, made the semis against Daniil Medvedev. He's going to join us live from Dubai. You're listening to The First Serve. Thanks to Hume Tennis and Community Centre. It is one of Australia's premier tournament and training venues, just 15 minutes from Melbourne Airport, 16 ITF-sized courts, accommodation available. It's a mini Melbourne Park. It's a great setup. Go and see Tim and the guys. Ideal for the travelling coaching groups and families. Check out humetennis.com.au.
First Serve Tennis Sunscreen. A quality Australian-made sunscreen to protect those that love their tennis at sunblesssunscreens.com.au and GLG Green Life Group, your open space specialists, providing landscape, horticultural and environmental services throughout Australia at glgcorp.com. The First Serve, your home of tennis.
Welcome back. Great to talk the world of tennis every Monday night. Keep an eye on our website as well, thefirstserve.com.au. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, covering the tour right throughout the week on both the men's and the women's side at all levels of the game. And there are Aussies everywhere at the moment. And we're going to speak to one right now. He's having a great run of form. We really enjoyed his company during the Australian Open in live commentary with us. He's taken off, headed to all parts of the globe, and he's winning matches. Great effort to make the semi-finals in Marseille last week, and he's just jetted into Dubai for the next tournament. It all happens very quickly on the professional tour. Matt Ebden, great to have you on the First Serve.
Yeah, thanks, Brett. There's a familiar voice. Good to hear. So, yeah, how are you, mate?
Going okay. You've just basically put your feet on the ground the last few hours. You've had the COVID test and ready to go again.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, we got here late last night, and then had to get up early and get the COVID test, and now just wait in the room until the negative test result before we're allowed out in our bubble with everyone. So that's the usual protocol now, week to week, in these bio bubbles, I suppose, with the tour.
Hey, just tell us how the body is, because you had that great run to the semis and then had to pull the pin in that second set against Medvedev. How have you come up the last few days?
It's not too bad. Just I suppose a mild groin strain or adductor strain, whatever. Yep. Yeah, it was terrible timing. I was playing well in the first set. It was 4-all, 40-15. I was serving when it happened.
Mm.
I think I served and volleyed maybe, and I was running to the net, and I felt it just pull. And then the next few points, I couldn't really move that well, and I ended up getting broken because of it. And then got the trainer 5-4, and I sort of knew I was in trouble. Tried to tape it and try a few things, but yeah, couldn't really react or explosively move, and that's what I needed, as well as everything to beat Danny, which was going pretty well according to plan in that first set. I had obviously a good game and playing well enough to beat him. I thought it would have been nice. Obviously, he's number two in the world now. But wasn't to be, so just bad timing. But yeah, obviously just a big load of matches on the sticky indoor courts, and yeah, just jagged and a little bit of a pull.
You were looking forward to that matchup. I mean, I remember in commentary, Daniil obviously was having a great run to the final against Djokovic, and you talked about the friendship you've got with him, and you really sung his praises. I imagine you would have been really excited to play that match.
Yeah. I mean, we were around the hotel in the locker room all together all week, chatting and joking and whatnot. And then it was good to then get to play each other. So we were, we're pretty friendly off the court and chat a lot. So that was good. And even at the net, when I had to stop, he said to me, oh, geez, I'm pretty lucky that you were playing better than me. maybe would have won or something. So
yep.
In that first set. But anyway, he's canned. I said, all good, mate. Well done and too good, and I obviously pulled an injury, he held up. I said, I will battle again next time, and we're looking forward to that. But yeah, it's pretty good camaraderie, and then he did well to win the final and get another title, so I'm disappointed that that's not me, obviously, but it's obviously a difference coming back, because you have to play qualies and a lot of matches, whereas he starts with a bye, and that's only his third match, and I've had already 6 or 7 matches or something.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's what I had to do these first couple of months, get a ton of matches and put my ranking up. So that's life.
You're hitting the ball very well. I mean, I watched a few of your matches and you didn't have it all your own way. You've had to, fight through a little bit of adversity as well. I mean, just tell us how you're feeling out there, because you've been inside the top 50, so you know the level that's required, and you obviously seem... I noticed this when you work with us across January. You seem very determined and focused to get back out on tour. You were looking pretty fit. 33 now. It's not that old in professional tennis when so many are playing late into their 30s, but you look like you're on a real man on a mission, and since you've left Australia, you've been on a great mission with hopefully plenty more to come.
Yeah, I guess I have. I've always confident with my level, being in the top 40 only in the last couple of years. So my best results or even years or rankings have even come just really recently. So I still feel like I'm the same player, and I've got probably more to offer or more to come from there, because I was able to spend 9 months last year working on some things in my game to really improve, which were important for me to not only be top 40, but if I could then push to the top 30, the top 20, the top 10, which would be ultimate. But in saying that, I've obviously beaten a lot of top 10 players, had some big results, I beat the guy who won the US Open last year, just over a year ago or whatever. So I'm not surprised or I suppose anything of that by my level, but it's just good to see, all that work and little improvements that I made even last year paying off persistently, in big moments, in big matches, even across doubles, singles, everything this last 2-3 months. That's really, gives me even more confidence probably than I had even before when I was top 40. I feel like I've definitely improved myself as a player since then as well. So I'm probably a better player than I was when I was top 40, but obviously the ranking takes a while for that to show. So, that can take 6 months and 12 months of playing for that to play out. But I think we're obviously seeing it already level-wise and, computer-generated numbers. I mean, they are what they are, that's fine. But, obviously can tell where my level's at.
Yep, no doubt about that. We're talking to Matt Ebden. He's in a nice vein of form at the moment, the Australian, who's back out on tour post, of course, at the Australian Open, having been to Singapore, to Russia, to France, now in Dubai over the last month. What have you noticed just about the tour Matt, since it left Australia? We know we had our own issues here, having to quarantine longer and all the protocols around the Australian Open. Marseille, no fans. You're going to go to the Middle East where some fans are allowed to come, which is terrific. But what have you observed just about the resumption of the tour post-Australia?
Yeah, I think they had a few fans last week in Doha, but I'm told here in Dubai there's no fans, actually. It's just a bio bubble. It's the players and tournament only. So, yeah, more or less the same last week. I mean, you have a few people watching, you know, people that inside the bubble, like officials and players or players, coaches and guests. So you have a few people out there sort of watching and around, but no spectators or fans as such. And, yeah, it's kind of eye-opening, I suppose, the last, well, month, because I've been playing, you know, since I left Australia. But obviously I was used to that a bit with playing, I suppose, in Doha at the beginning of the year, and then even through Melbourne there was those periods when there weren't really many fans allowed or any fans allowed, even in Aussie Open. So, yeah, it was a little bit the new normal, but, yeah, I mean, it's not that bad, but it's not that great, I suppose. I've kind of been too busy to think about I've had singles and doubles almost every day since I left Melbourne about a month ago. So kind of been too busy just playing and doing everything to think too much about it. But, yeah, I mean, I got to Dubai and they told me even that 6 out of the 9 million population have already been vaccinated. So that's 60% of their population already vaccinated. They're opening here. The airport's busy. People coming in, you know, it's busy here. Europe's, you know, slowly getting better. And, you know, there's still a lot of people traveling in all the airports and that. So I know Australia's stuck in a bit of a, you know, a bubble and everyone's pretty worried and scaremongered there. But I suppose out here in the big wide world, it's, yeah, it's a lot different. And, you know, I suppose Europe and the rest of the world are on track to really open up in the next few months. But Australia's obviously got the problems with the quarantine and the hard border internationally until everyone vaccinates, I guess.
Mate, great to catch up with you. We wanted to touch base, so we've been obviously following your journey very closely. You've been playing some terrific tennis. You got Bautista good in the first round, so both of you having a bye first up, and that's a pretty good field, obviously, with the Dubai team and Rublev, Shapovalov, Goffin, and we wish you all the best. Hopefully that groin holds up pretty well, and look forward to seeing you play some more great tennis.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, super strong draw here. Yeah, so that's, I mean, for people who probably don't understand, yeah, so it's a performance bye from last week and a special exemption. So, yeah, Bautista first up, tough one. So, yeah, I've just got to hope I'm fit and healthy first of all. So when I get out, I'll have some physio and maybe a light hit later or tomorrow before my match and just test it and see if I can play and, you know, maybe have a go and see how that will hold up, see if I'm match ready yet. But obviously hoping to be and hoping that that's all fine. If I have to wait another week, so be it. But yeah, hoping obviously to be fit and healthy and ready to start again tomorrow.
We wish you all the best, Matt. Great to chat to you as always. Look forward to doing it throughout 2021.
Great. Thank you, mate. All the best.
Matt Ebden joining us live in Dubai. He's only touched down in the last, couple of hours, and he'll be ready to go again after that performance bye in the first round. Tennis Direct, Australia's favourite online tennis store. You can go shopping tonight while you're listening to us. Great prices. Free delivery on orders over $150. Just go to their website, tennisdirect.com.au. Get that 10% discount if you use the promo code FIRSTSERVE10. Plenty more to come. The First Serve, your home of tennis.
First Serve Tennis Sunscreen, a quality Australian-made sunscreen to protect those that love their tennis at sunblesssunscreens.com.au and GLG Green Life Group, your open space specialists at glgcorp.com. The First Serve, your home of tennis.
Welcome back to The First Serve, covering the world of tennis every Monday night on SEN. If you do miss the show, we are always podcasting our show. You can check out the SEN app, our website, thefirstserve.com.au, and follow us on our socials right throughout the week. We need to touch on the two women's events that have taken place in the last 7 days. Garbiñe Muguruza, 8th career title, and she won, of course, in Dubai. And first title since, 2019? She'd lost a few finals of recent time, was runner-up in Doha last week, a tour-leading 18th match win for Garbiñe. So kept the unforced errors under control. She can start to spray them when things aren't going too well, but the 31 winners, 31 unforced errors, took on Barbora Krejcikova, who's been the world number one doubles player. First time she'd made a WTA singles final, but let's have a listen to Garbiñe Muguruza.
Great achievement. You know, I've been coming here for many years in a row, and I felt like I was closed, but not enough. And today, you know, finally I got the champion trophy, and, you know, very, very happy after losing a few finals in a row to get this one.
You've also been to three finals already in 2021. You've talked about knowing that you would get one of them. This is the week that it's actually happened for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it paid off this week. You know, the other weeks I was close, but today, you know, fought harder, I don't know, and, you know, very happy about it.
How hard is that kind of consistency to get, and how pleased are you that you are now doing that at the start of a new season?
Very happy. I feel like the consistency, it's so hard to get, and, you know, being able to play three finals is a great sign that we are on the right way.
And back-to-back finals as well, from Doha last week, Dubai this week. That's a certain mentality, isn't it, to be able to do that?
I mean, it was very challenging. I feel like more than people think, with so many things that happened, you know, in this Middle East swing. But, you know, we stood strong and very proud of my whole team.
It's been a very difficult week as well. Really tough opponents. You've had Barbora, obviously, in the final tonight, and then Świątek, Sabalenka, Mertens. Can you just explain how tough it is to get past those kind of top players?
Very tough. I feel like, you know, if you want to get the trophy, you got to win everybody on the way. And, you know, today was a very tough match, but all of them were.
I know that one of your coaches, Conchita Martinez, has been watching via a telephone in order to see live rather than television live pictures. I know players are quite superstitious. Is that something, now that you've won a title, you need to carry on doing that?
I'm zero superstitious. I believe zero in luck. That's so not me, but, you know, I want to dedicate this tournament especially to Audrey, my physio. Man, she worked so hard these 2 weeks to do everything, the coaching, the physio, the fitness training, everything, and very proud of her work. And also to Conchi, my coach, that she got the virus and she was so, you know, upset she couldn't come, but this one is for her.
And physically, you have talked about being much stronger, which you just talked about. That's a part of your entire team helping you, isn't it?
Yes, I feel like, you know, improving physically helped me to resist round after round. And I feel that's a key of these few matches, to be able to handle them physically and come back the next day and still give a good level.
Very nice work, Garbiñe Muguruza. Two-time Grand Slam champion. Surely there's got to be another one inside Garbiñe. She's a big game player. She can go off the boil at times, but gee, when she's on, it's a good game to watch. And a quick word, and you might learn a new language here, Sara Sorribes-Tormo, the fourth seed. I actually can't watch her serve. Did she play Gavrilova at the Australian Open? I think in that first round under Margaret Court. It's the most unorthodox serve. But she won her first WTA final in Mexico. So there's a little bit of Spanish and a little bit of English in Sara.
Today, in the middle of the pandemic, you were able to play in front of your most supportive Mexican crowd and your mom. How do you feel about it?
No, de verdad, es que no tengo palabras, no sé qué más deciros, estoy muy, muy feliz. Tengo la piel de gallina todo el rato y nada, soy muy feliz. Quería dar las gracias también a mi equipo que está en España, Silvia, Paco, José, a mi padre, a mi hermano, a mi novio. De verdad, muchísimas gracias por estar siempre conmigo y nada, espero que nos veamos el año que viene.
Incredible. I just can't put words into it. It's just been amazing. I just would like to thank my boyfriend, my family, and everyone supporting me, especially the Mexican crowd, who has been incredible during this week.
There you go. Just roll the R's beautifully, Rafael Nadal style. Well done to Sara Sorribes-Tormo. Well done to Astra Sharma making the quarters. She's capable, Astra. There's no doubt about that. Her and Ellen Perez teaming up to win the doubles. So well done to them. It was a great performance. I think there's another level that Astra Sharma can go to. Of our young Australian women, I think there's some real upside to Astra. If she can just crank her game up another notch, I'd like to see her maybe be a little bit more aggressive. She's at 128. We've got a few of our female players in that sort of area at the moment that is certainly tough to get out of. And a quick word before we break to Sione Mendes, who I haven't really followed a lot of her journey. Now, she's up in the 280s now. I think she spends more of her time overseas than here in Australia. She won the ITF 15K event in France overnight. She beat the top seed, so she was the second seed. But if you watch her ranking in the last 3 or 4 years, it's been coming down, nice gradual improvement. She's 21. We are going to try and see if we can get hold of her over the next couple of weeks because we haven't spoken to her on this program before and followed a lot of her journey. So we'll try and just fill a few of the gaps. We're going to take a break. Andrew Hill we're going to hear from, thanks to Melbourne's leading synthetic grass court surface and construction specialist, Asti Tennis Courts, trusted by Melbourne tennis clubs and councils. Check out aste.com.au. Andrew Hill coming up next.
First Serve Tennis Sunscreen, a quality Australian-made sunscreen to protect those that love their tennis at sunblesssunscreens.com.au and GLG Green Life Group, your open space specialists, providing landscape, horticultural and environmental services throughout Australia at glgcorp.com. The First Serve, your home of tennis.
For our last segment, I want to introduce you to Andrew Hill, who's going to tell you tonight about Between the White Lines Tennis Summit Australasia, focusing on influences of our great sport of tennis. So my catch-up with Andrew Hill earlier today.
The idea came from a gentleman called Mark Jeffries over in England, and he had an idea to share a whole lot of tennis initiatives right around the world. So I was invited back in September to answer questions, what happens in Australia. After I saw all this great energy, and I said, so what's your next step? Anyway, he just mentioned he's still working on it. He said, look, if you want, I'll put my hand up and I'll run an Australian version of Between the White Lines. When you think of Between the White Lines, it's to do with tennis courts, but I said the white lines could be a athletics track and you're passing me the baton. So the baton's been passed to me and I started to look for influences in Australia, one of which you are, and trying to get positive stories out to our tennis coaches and put it all onto a website, made it easy for tennis players, tennis coaches to access great knowledge.
Do you feel like there's a gap, if you like, where this fulfills a gap that currently exists in Australian tennis?
Yes, I've been in Australian tennis for 40 years as a professional coach, and I've been with Tennis Australia, I've been with Tennis Coaches Australia, I've been with ATPCA and currently with AATC, which is education arms of coaching. What I found is communication was stifled for a long time, and then I saw an answer to that with COVID when it hit, and Zoom channels started to link coaches from the country to different countries. And it was great. We were starting to talk and we're like mates in Australia and we're helping each other with good ideas. So I saw that as an opportunity to say, all right, well, let's get the ideas out of your head and let's share it with other people and inspire them.
So tell us about the last few days, because it has been held. Who's been involved? What are some of the things that are sort of kicking around? What's been topical, Andrew?
This is a really good question. And the idea was influencers and innovators. So we were trying to get some new blood, new ideas into tennis. Mark Jeffries had a concept from the original one called Building Tennis, postcode by postcode. Instead of thinking on districts or states, we were trying to break it right down and how we can help the local coach with the local people and then create a structure that interconnects everyone to help them. I put that one out there as, are you an influencer or innovator? And had some requests and found some people who sometimes unsung heroes. They're just doing a great job keeping everything going. There were Facebook links. There were Ryan Henrahan's been doing a few things on Facebook. There's been Angie on the tennis community. So all these people had nearly spectated even just through their phone. And the idea was they were sharing positive ideas. So when I put this thing together, then people from around the world said, we'd like to be involved. Probably the key thing about the Australasian one is a lot of our Australians are overseas and they're helping other countries. So what I did is I got them to link in from like Singapore. Frank Bruinsma is in Singapore. I've got people from all different countries who have been like a guru in that country. So I said, look, let's share some of your good ideas back here in Australia.
If I was to ask you where you think tennis is at currently, I mean, obviously, as we go through the decades, sport is competitive for eyeballs to get people to participate. And then obviously, we'd love those participants to be able to reach great heights within the Australian tennis system. We're in a sport now that globally it's phenomenal and it's tougher for the Australians to make that breakthrough. So I suppose there's two areas, isn't there? There's just enjoying tennis as a sport, and then hopefully there's a good enough pathway that can see enough Australians who have that desire to go higher be able to achieve that within the system here. What do you think are the major obstacles, if you like, or the major challenges within tennis to to make sure as a sport it absolutely fulfills its potential in this country?
This is a really good question. This is right to the heart of where it starts. A long time ago, I was in Tennis New South Wales. I would write programs called the ACE Program or ACE Tennis and Smash. And the idea was for coaches to link in with local schools. And the whole premise was, let's create a wider base. And the more people are in the base of tennis, recreational, everyone benefits. Tennis balls, tennis rackets, everyone's playing local courts. The idea is there's a pathway as they go through their coach, they go through their district until they get into the top spots. Now, I was the head coach out at Sydney International Tennis. It was a privilege to be part of the Leighton Hewitt Tennis Academy when he turned number one in front of 200 students in Sydney. Now, I'll probably never see that again. So here's a young guy who's hitting with the kids in the day, and in the night, they've got shirts with Hewitt, you can do it. And we watched him turn number one in Sydney. So that's the inspiration. All these top players, they all had something in common. They're all at school. So we're trying to really get that wide base so that more people can try the sport. Through AATC, I've been writing some programs called Court Sports, the idea to attract more people to your center and then have access to more people to follow a tennis pathway. The structural change, I have seen that block a little bit, communication blocks. I've seen pathway blocks. So someone's going quite well and then they get diverted or get injured. So there has to be something that makes sure that it's a nice clear track all the way through.
I think you are aware that on our show last year, certainly when once COVID hit, we focused a lot more on the domestic scene and what is happening with tennis here in Australia. And it's amazing how much you learn about your audience out there who are listeners to the First Serve, who this is their real passion and they're involved at grassroots level, at that pathway level. And there's been certainly some disenchantment with Tennis Australia along the journey and try to get everything aligned. And it seems like a lot of those on the outside think that the current model isn't perhaps working to, number one, have people participating in the sport and having a good enough pathway to be able to see those with potential be able to go on and really, really shine. It's an interesting time because obviously with COVID, the Australian Open's taken a significant hit financially. A lot of that funding goes down and filtered down to the grassroots of the sport. How do you sort of see the situation in that regard long term?
In structure, there was a structure which was a grassroots up structure. People used to pay their membership to their local district. Some of that money went to DATE, some of that money went to Tennis Australia. Probably around the 2005 time, a few changes happened and there was a restructure, actually a redirection of finances. So all the finances went through the top and then they were filtered all the way down. Sometimes local districts or local clubs didn't have any money to negotiate with local councils on just a court. And that's really important that if that's in place, kids will just keep playing in the country, in the city. But that's our playground. So if we have access to those, and then they have to look good. These courts, like my court spotless. When you come past the courts, you're there thinking, I want to have a game there. That looked fun in that center. Whereas sometimes I go past the tennis center and there's weeds and rusted fences. There's things that we can do as professional coaches to make it more welcoming to the community.
There he is. Andrew Hill will bring you that full interview, of course, as part of our podcast. That's a really interesting topic. We'll follow it up between the White Lions Summit. What a big week. Dubai, a lot of Australians. O'Connell, Demonor, Popperin, Milman, Ebden, Thompson will all be competing. Unfortunately, Thanasi Kokkinakis didn't qualify for Acapulco. Arena Rodionova's in St. Petersburg this week. Biella indoors in Italy. Bernard Tomic's back. Akira Sandilands got to get through the final round of qualifying. And Alexander Vukic is in that tournament as well. So there are Aussies all over the globe. Follow it through us, thefirstserve.com.au, and also our socials, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We'll do it all again live next Monday night at 8 o'clock. In the meantime, just follow us and we'll bring you all the Aussies. Hopefully, some good success this week.